Well, friends, one thing is for sure from today's scriptures. The prophet Amos must have been doing something right. All true prophets, all throughout the ages, receive the kind of rebuke that Amaziah gives to Amos because they share the full truth, complete with all of its uncomfortable aspects. Yet Amaziah, so this guy, we hear that he's a priest of Bethel, but really, and what kind of priest is this? This guy, he's just a jealous coward, is what it seems. What he and most people want from prophets, they want prophets that are going to tell them what they want to hear, to confirm them in their misdeeds rather than calling them to the difficult yet wonderful work of changing their lives for the better. They want prophets that are going to point them to false gods that they can manipulate instead of the true God who is unchanging. But these false prophets have nothing to do with God, nothing at all. They're merely prophets of the powers of this world, the kings, the rulers, the influencers of this world. Notice what Amaziah says. He basically says, get out of here, Amos. Go preach somewhere else. You know, this is the king's temple. This is a royal sanctuary. And there's something wrong with that, right? Because this is God's temple. It's not the king's temple. It's God's temple. It's his holy sanctuary. But we can see where Amaziah, where his allegiance is, right? It's not with God. It's with the king. Amos, however, is a true prophet. He's a true mouthpiece of God. That's what the word prophet means. So, and he's willing to be that prophet even and especially when he knows that there will be negative consequences. And yet Amos wasn't born into this prophetic ministry. He doesn't come from a priestly line. He didn't ask for this. He wasn't looking to become a prophet or any kind of public figure. He's not looking for status or for money or for power. He was a mere shepherd and dresser of sycamores, we heard. In other words, he's an ordinary person, just like all of us. But then God called him to this wonderful, exalted kind of a ministry, to this vocation. And he said yes. That's the key. He said yes. Well, guess what, gang? By virtue of our baptism, God calls every single one of us to share in Christ's prophetic ministry to this broken world. Christ is priest, prophet, and king, right? We've heard that. Well, we're baptized into Christ, so we share in his priestly, his prophetic, and his kingly ministry. We're focusing on the prophetic aspect here. Now, of course, this looks differently for all of us because God calls us each to a unique vocation. But nevertheless, we are all called to be his prophets, bringing the truth, the good news to others. Yes, even when this truth is uncomfortable. Don't get the wrong idea, though. God's not calling us into drudgery and misery like people in the world may indicate. This is the best possible life we can live. It's the most free we can ever be. God fills us with his peace and joy when we do his will, because then we're open to it. Amidst the ups and the downs of life, we need to strive to do his will, and then we're filled with his gifts. Therefore, let us not seek to please the powers and false gods of this world. Rather, let us seek to please the one true God who loves us all unconditionally and infinitely. This, brothers and sisters, is what the Christian life is all about. This is what we were created for. And this is what St. Paul so beautifully encourages us to do in today's second reading. This is chapter 2 of his letter from the Ephesians. He first praises God the Father, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Not just a little trinket here and there to kind of keep us going along. No, he gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Every single one. The whole enchilada, we might say. God doesn't hold anything back from us. The problem is we often hold back from him. We're too closed off to receive what he's giving us. Paul continues. Before the foundation of the world, God destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, what he's saying is he destined us to become his very own sons and daughters. That's wonderful. And yet, he didn't do this for fun. He didn't do this to be nice. He didn't do this just to be bored, because he was bored. Rather, he did it because he wants to spend eternity with us. And yet that wasn't possible because of human sin and wickedness. Therefore, what does he do? He chose us in Christ to be holy and blemish before him, holy and without blemish before him. And this is only possible since now we have redemption by Christ's blood, the forgiveness of transgressions in accordance with the riches of grace that he lavished upon us. This is tremendous. Think about it. We turn away from God all the time when we choose sin. In our wickedness, we reject him. And what's his response? Every spiritual blessing in the heavens he offers us. And he keeps offering them to us. He always offers us reconciliation and redemption. Even when we keep turning away, he's always there to bring us back. This is our God. This is how much he loves us. What a tremendous gift. Let us then seek to receive this gift as radically as possible, to recognize that we were created to reflect God's glory, not the glory or not whatever of the false gods of this world, but to reflect his glory. And we do this by walking the path of reconciliation and transformation that makes it possible. Now, what does this mean concretely? Well, it's actually pretty simple. That doesn't mean it's easy, but it's pretty simple. The first piece is the sacraments. That's the primary gift, the primary experience that we have of God's love this side of heaven. Of course, the Eucharist is the source and summit of the sacraments. And so, first and foremost, coming to Mass every Sunday and on holy days is essential. Coming to confession regularly, I highly recommend once a month. And then the other sacraments too. But confession and Eucharist, that's kind of the bread and butter of the Catholic life. So that's the first piece and the necessary first piece. They go in order. So the second one is our life of daily prayer. And this takes on many different shapes and sizes. It could be praying the rosary. It could be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It could be a number of other devotions and litanies. It could be just opening up your heart to God and praying kind of freestyle. It could be any and all of those things. But we need to pray every day because that's when we unfold all these gifts that he gives us in the sacraments. We can't take it in all at once. He's lavishing every spiritual blessing in the heavens on us. We can't comprehend that all at once. To our daily prayer life, we realize what he's giving us, and then we can accept these graces. And then we understand what his will is for us. And that takes us to the third piece now, which is mission, service to our brothers and sisters according to his will, not according to ours. So sacraments, daily prayer, mission. That's how we walk this path of reconciliation and transformation. In today's gospel passage, Christ calls the disciples and then he teaches them how to walk this very same path. Now, of course, it looks a little differently because this was at the very beginning. So it looks differently than it does now. Same path, though. And notice how this calling is indeed very dignified. Christ is giving great authority and he's raising up the dignity of the 12 apostles. But this calling has nothing to do with seeking comfort. Nothing at all. It's all about trusting in the Lord and seeking his will above everything else. Which is tough, right? It's hard. But we can see him. He says, you know, don't take any extra money. Don't take all these creature comforts. You can wear sandals, he says. At least he lets them wear sandals. But basically the rest, don't take a second tunic. Don't sandbag. No creature comforts. Depend on me. And he's sending them out, sheep among wolves, and they know this. But he's saying, rely on me. Depend on me, not on these other things. And they might have some reservations, but they do it. And so this calling is indeed dignified and it's rooted and grounded in Christ. It's also fundamentally oriented towards mission. But a very particular and difficult mission. Notice Christ doesn't say, yeah, just go out and give people high fives and kind of crack a few jokes and just be, you know, the life of the party. That's not what he's calling them to do at all. No. Just like Amos and the 12 in the gospel passage, we aren't called to go and tell people what they want to hear. That's not what Christ asks us to do. That's not the Christian life. We're called to preach repentance. That's the difficulty. We're called to preach repentance and bring as many people as possible to the Lord for healing of their wounds, which come about through sins in our lives and also the darkness within us and around us. God gives you, every single one of you, and me too, the power and authority to succeed in this according to your unique vocation. And yet, you can never succeed in this at all unless you first seek repentance. Seek that transformation yourself. Because you can't give what you don't have, right? Friends, remember, never forget the beauty and dignity of the life God has given you in Jesus Christ. Remember how much He loves you and how much He yearns to share this life with you. Remember that He is calling you at every moment to grow deeper into this life and to share your abundant blessings selflessly with others. Choose this life and no other. Don't go chasing after those false gods. Choose this life in God, in Christ. Be not afraid to welcome Him into the deepest, darkest recesses of your heart so He can transform you all the more into a prophet who confidently proclaims His truth, not your truth, His truth, to a world that so desperately needs it. Then you will find the fullness of freedom that only comes from God. Then you will find true flourishing in this life and, of course, in the next. Then you will find the peace and joy, which is beyond all understanding, that only comes from God. And I'm going to conclude here by just bringing you back to the opening prayer that we had earlier. It's so beautiful, and it really brings these dynamics together in such a marvelous way. So I give it back to you here in full for your reflection. O God, who showed the light of your truth to those who go astray. That's us. We all go astray. So that they may return to the right path. Hopefully that's us too. Coming back, reconciliation. Let's start over here. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for the faith they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor.